Mountain Radio.
Now, uncontrollable rage can present itself for a number of reasons. There's, for example, road rage, and don't we see that? Personal conflict, not being heard, and a number of other reasons why which triggers a tirade. Joe Hart, an organisational psychologist, joins us to try and work out why we lose our temper. Good afternoon to you, Joe.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Joe. I'm in control.
Yeah, it's fine. Good to hear.
I think we as human beings get to a point sometimes where it's not acceptable, but some people just lose it, some more than others, would you consider?
Absolutely. And look, I think it's only human if we didn't have those moments where we lost our cool and, you know, behaved in ways that we are somewhat regretful about. then we'd probably be robots.
So as an organisational psychologist, what do you hear from people? Do they come to you and say, I really do think I'm getting out of control?
Sometimes people are like, especially in a work context, they'll say, I can't believe how stupid people are. I tell them what to do, and then they go and do something else, or I follow up with them and they haven't done it. And so that's cause for a lot of frustration and outbursts and anger. And, of course, for the person listening to that sort of phrase, they're like, hang on, you're telling them what to do? Yeah, maybe that's the problem. And so I think it's not being aware of how they're impacting others and how that's actually creating a fear response in people.
It's interesting, is it not, that some people feel they have a right to be able to force this sort of power on others by letting them know in anger how they feel about them. And of course, that sort of can be interpreted as bullying eventually. And psychologically, the person on the receiving end, I mean, it's something you just can't cope with.
Absolutely. I guess in any context, we seek to be safe. Yeah, that's the first thing you want to make sure. If it's you, if it's your friend, if it's your children, you want to make sure that they're safe. And it's not safe when your manager is, let's be honest, abusing you. Feel like that's a direct threat.
With your experience, I wonder, can you define people that can't control themselves? But what is it? Do they feel inadequate? Do they feel it's their right, they're entitled, do you think, to be able to not bully someone, but yell at someone, when really a conversation is the most polite thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, the worst offenders are the people that have no idea that that's how they're showing up. So they're so consumed with the results or the outcome that they're wanting to achieve, that they forget that what they're saying to somebody else is hurtful, it's unacceptable, it's bullying, it's harassment, it's challenge. So I think it's that lack of awareness, and it's hard to believe sometimes that they weren't aware. It's like, are you sure? Like, you really didn't know? And given feedback, sometimes they'll acknowledge, yeah, okay, I probably shouldn't have said that, but then they'll excuse the other five times that same sort of thing is unfolded. So it really comes down to awareness or a lack of.
Well, it's no excuse though, but what I'm sort of thinking about with people, it sounds to me like everything has to be their way or the highway, and they feel expressing themselves in such a way that they have more control. Is it a controlling thing, do you think?
Sometimes it is about control. And if somebody's got such high standards for themselves, or that's the context they've been raised, where they've had to meet extremely high standards, they'll actually pass that relentless commitment to a standard onto other people and thrust it on them.
Yeah.
And if somebody doesn't meet it, or they shy away from it, they fail to achieve it, even if they're trying hard, they'll just write them off. No good.
Yeah.
They're terrible. They can't ever be as good as I need them to be. And then that just turns into this frustration. Doesn't matter what they do, they fail.
So something happens physically very quickly for someone that reaches from a normal, level of okay, or everything's good, and all of a sudden, wham, it really happens quickly. Is it an adrenaline rush? Is it the brain that's telling the body to verbalise how they feel?
Yeah, yes, they'll describe it as, I can't control it once it starts. I can't stop it. It sort of has a mind of its own. I guess we could call this as emotional hijacking. So it's that when your brain is just completely full of emotion, and you're not able to override it. You're hijacked. No option for you to be able to
calmly
to change that outcome. Yeah, you can't behave calmly in that sense.
I mean, it's a very dangerous situation for not just the perpetrator, but for the victim to be able to deal with this. When you look at road rage, I mean, we see, you know, examples, I suppose, on the media and on the internet, where it is just horrific, isn't it? You know, I think we're all guilty. I mean, I've mentioned this before and I'm quite happy to admit it. I get a bit cranky when I'm driving in the car and but no one can hear me. So when someone tailgates or cuts off, always has to try and be in front. Do you know what I think it is? I think a lot of people feel it's an intrusion into their space. You know, who do you think you are trying to get in front of me? Who do you think you are bullying me by coming up close behind me? There's this, isn't it? There's this ownership of where you are.
Yeah, that's right. It's like you've actually not respected my boundaries.
Yeah.
And by cutting me off or not even noticing that I exist, you're actually disrespecting me. Yeah. And that doesn't feel nice, so I'm going to honk at you. Mm. I'm going to swear under my breath.
Yeah. I do it out loud. I do it out loud in the car. But it is interesting, but it can go a lot further, which we've seen, you know. They come up and they start ramming. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, everyone knows what can happen. It's just frightening. Yeah. Okay, what do you suggest to somebody that can't control? They say they can't control.
Yeah. So if they're saying that they're out of control or once it starts, you know, it's just like this red mist that comes over them, challenging. Right, because they need to start with what happens before that red mist kicks in, and it's out of control. So, what are the triggers? And if they know if somebody cuts me off in traffic, it's game over. Then I take on this other beast inside me, and I can't stop it. Mm-hmm. So, it's to go back to what precedes that moment, and to really get them to choose how they respond in that moment when they've evaluated. Okay, this is a potential trigger for me. So, before I engage, I'm actually going to really get conscious and present to what's going on physiologically. And this is about activating the parasympathetic nervous system. So is it focusing on your breath?
Yes,
is it being really aware of what's going on in your body? Are your guts churning? Is your chest tight? Those sorts of things. And I think being able to, just get calm is the first step.
Well, when you're driving at a speed, I mean, you've got to think of all those things pretty quickly because something has happened so fast when you've been cut off or whatever the situation. Yeah, I think it is about personal space. I really do. People get very, very offended. So the only way that's going to work for somebody that knows they're out of control is by admitting it and then planning for when the next time they are put in predicament that they do start to do what you've suggested.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, look at what's happened in the past. Know what triggers.
Yeah.
So if it's when someone cuts you off, like for some people it's, you know, they might get triggered when somebody's sitting at a light and they haven't noticed and they're still looking at their phone or they're talking to someone and that's like the end of the world for them and they get really angry because they'll miss the light or whatever it is and that's their trigger. Other times it's they didn't indicate and they drifted into their lane. You know, who knows? It's really what it is for you. And it seems silly to somebody else listening. It's like, oh, well, why would you get triggered by that? That's not a big deal.
Oh, I think we all do.
Yeah.
But it's also, do you know what I think too, Joe, is if you get a fright, if someone cuts you off and you have to brake suddenly, like I was really T-boned not long ago by somebody coming through a red light, and if I hadn't braked heavily, heavily, I would have copped it in my driver's, I would have copped it completely, the car. Well, I was furious that person came through that red light, and I actually chased after them and wound down the window and said, what the heck did you think? She said, no, it was a green, you know, but see what you're saying? Yeah. I felt that I could have been hurt. So that's another trigger.
Yeah. Interesting. And so, you know, and did that help you by chasing them down and getting that point across? I guess is my question.
Yes.
But in the moment, it made you feel...
No, it didn't really. It didn't really, honestly. Okay. But I just don't go near that intersection ever again. And, you know, it does affect you, that fright. Mm. You could have had a very bad accident. Anyway, that aside, what about personal conflicts? And, you know, we venture into, I suppose, the subject of domestic violence where somebody feels, you made me do it, you know.
Yeah.
That's serious.
Yeah. Yeah, look, you know, really, really challenging subject because I think there's so many different elements and factors to consider in that. But, yeah, if you're facing significant threat or potential harm from somebody in your environment, you know, I think that's where we're talking about something quite different.
Yes, I know.
So, yeah, that's... But, you know, I think, yeah, first step is to get safe. If somebody's making you feel, you know, like you're being threatened and your response to that is to lash out, yeah, I'm not sure that's going to be a good outcome.
No, absolutely not. And, we're speaking about it a lot more today and there are a lot more services for people that need to leave that.
Correct.
Look, the other quick thing is sense of entitlement and a recent article about a United Kingdom comedian, James Corden, was called out for abusing hospitality staff. Now, you can never excuse that sort of behaviour. Now, that to me is entitlement, don't you think, looking down on people that are working?
Yeah, look, it could be. I'm not actually familiar with that article, so I haven't read it, so I can't talk to that specifically. But, yeah, if somebody's behaving in an entitled way or they're looking down on someone based on, you know, their lowly, perceived lowly job, yeah, that's just unacceptable. And I think for the person on the receiving end of that, again, how do you respond to that? And I think sometimes actually letting somebody know, I'm not appreciating how you're speaking with me. Yeah. I get that you're frustrated and it's okay that you're expressing yourself, but it's not okay to abuse me. So I'm going to walk away from this conversation. Mm. And I think teaching staff how to do that is critical, but also empowering them to actually let them know that's not acceptable.
Couldn't agree more.
So, yeah, bit of a challenge.
Well,
but
it was sort of a trivial. It is correct because he's apologised to the restaurant now, but it was the fact that his wife ordered an omelette and it didn't come out exactly as he thought it should have been. So you know, this is pretty trivial, and it happens all the time. We see it, people buying coffee; it's not hot enough, not cold enough, all this sort of stuff. You know, what's people are putting them, aren't they? I mean, it's awful.
Yeah. It reminds me of somebody that I once knew, and they were in an airport lounge in what we know as the chairman's lounge in with the Qantas frequent flyers deal. And they were sitting there and they'd asked for something, you know, and the waiter brought it over, and it wasn't what they'd asked for specifically, and I just can't get it out of my head. They said, "Do you know who I am?"
Oh, no!
And I'm like, I know who you are, and you ain't all that. So how would they know who you are?
That's laughable.
What an arrogant thing to say.
Well,
that was absolutely entitlement.
That is totally, totally, for anyone to ever use that expression, that is absolutely disgusting. I don't know how these people can go through life and think that they are so much better. Anyway, I'm getting cranky. You know, I think I need help.
Present to your physiological state. Just calm, breathe.
Well, now, Joe, what do you suggest to people that think, yes, it is getting out of control? I'm going to get myself into trouble. I'm in the workplace and I'm not being very pleasant to, even if you're not a manager, it could be a workmate that loses their temper. What do you suggest? How do you deal with this?
Yeah, look, in the first instance, if they're in a context where that's going to be perceived as unacceptable and it's going to lead to, you know, them getting in trouble, get them to walk out of the context. Like, just say, you know what, it's time to take a bit of a blocky, take a brisk walk, do some breathing, sign up to a yoga class, do something that's going to enable them to remove themselves from that context and get present again. I think it's really important that they know how to recognise that's not okay. And so if they've had feedback and they're generally, you know, agreeing that, yeah, it's not okay, I can't control myself, then, yeah, get yourself out of that environment just for a bit so you can calm down and come back to yourself.
Yeah, I'm just thinking when they're in the middle of their rampage, I suppose, whether they're going to listen to something. Now, listen, mate, you need to do a bit of yoga. Now, what I suggest, you take a few deep breaths. I don't know that they're going to listen to you right away.
They're definitely not, no. And look, I think it requires self-regulation. So if somebody doesn't know, and this is the problem, if they don't believe that what they're doing is unacceptable, then there's not going to be a great deal of hope for that person to change. So they need to, in themselves, take on the feedback, and action the feedback that that's not okay. So, look, I think most people, when they've been given feedback that it's not okay, they agree. So, yeah, actually, I was out of line. I'm really not happy with how I behaved. There are a handful of people that won't even get it.
That's right.
I think that is a challenge.
We've all known them. We've all known them.
Yeah, and we will all continue to know them. They will be there. How do we work around them? I think, we need to be a little more...
proactive, I suppose.
Yeah, I was going to say forceful, but yeah, proactive is probably a nicer way of putting it, just in terms of putting some ring-fencing the behaviour, saying that's not okay. And you need to understand that that's not okay. And so, it's yelling and screaming at someone in an open plan, for example, which, I've got examples of that happening.
Yeah,
it's really not okay. And they're like, but what do you mean? They weren't doing their job. I was just telling them that they needed to be better. It's like, that's not okay.
It's not okay. Exactly.
So
right.
If you do that again, we're going to be having a conversation about your future with this organisation.
Yeah. Work safe. Absolutely. All right, Joe, if you ever tailgate me, let me tell you, I'll be telling you to move back, okay?
And I'll help you get calm.
Thank you. Slowly breathe. Okay. Thank you very much. Lovely to speak to you.
You're welcome. It was great.
Okay, thank you. No more road rage, everyone. Curtain Radio.